Well, many people know Helen Kritzler for your email blast that you sometimes send out. And yes. For that, I think some people may know you for the other side, probably not as many, that you do palm reading. And you've been doing that
yes,
for...
Psychic palm reading, yes.
Yeah. And there's really, that's a very ancient art. A lot of people don't know a lot about that, but it really, I find it fascinating myself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my mother was a palm reader, so and she learned from her grandfather, so it's kind of been passed on down through the family.
Ah, very interesting. So you grew up with that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. But I also decided I wanted to talk to you more because you sent me, a few months ago, a link to a YouTube you did.
Yes.
And it was something I had no idea you were into, called Accessing the Divine. And
yeah.
It was very special because not
Thank
only
you.
It you did the original artwork for it, and so I
yes.
had no idea you did artwork as well.
Yes. You know, well, it's well. You do also, right? You
yeah.
do art. You do music. You know, I think when you have that passion in your heart, Cindy, you know, some it comes out in different ways, right? You want to express
yes.
something powerful in your heart, and sometimes it comes out in words. And you sing, right?
Oh, I wish I did. No,
well,
I have
I
other
think
people.
Of you as a singer.
Well, I actually have many wonderful people I hire or work on projects with that sing things I write or things I do music or
well,
lyrics for.
You know, isn't that interesting? I think of you as a singer.
I you know, maybe I
so
should
on
be.
Some level,
some
on
level.
Some level.
Some level, maybe.
You know, from my psychic side, I say you're a singer.
Thank you. I'll have to look at that one. So tell me, I really am fascinated with this amazing, it's on YouTube, by the way, if people want to see it. It's YouTube Accessing the Divine Dash Maui. Do you put in Helen Kritzler if people want to?
I know, I just put Maui, but I mean, Helen Kritzler, you could find it that way. But, you know, I know there's so many that could say Accessing the Divine, so I wanted to put Maui in so they would get me.
Well,
tell me
about how you did it, because I thought it was lovely and so well put.
Thank you.
How did you put it all together? Because there's some art actually
well,
in creating that.
So you know, we're all quite complex, aren't we, Cindy,
yes.
our whole lives? You know, and who we're supposed to be and how we manifest out in the world. I worked for Atari many years ago. And so I learned animation at that time
wow.
because it was way back in the very beginning of computer games. So we designed by filling out, you know, squares, turning the bits on and off. We used graph papers at that time to design the games. Wow. So it's really early. But I learned a little bit about animation, you know, and how that works. And I've been sort of drawing, you know, all my life. I never went to art school, but I always, when I would travel, I, you know, if I was alone, I would just start to draw. It would give me something to do, and kids would come around, and I would start drawing them, and they would love it, you know. Kids love it when you draw their pictures. And so I have a collection of many years of traveling, of drawings.
Now, that's another two things I didn't know about you. Because I didn't know you traveled a lot. And, of course, I have a travel show I do on Wednesdays, and I love travel. And I have to ask also about the drawings. I assume, did you do pencil drawings or charcoal, or what kind of drawings?
Well, so they started with pencil and then ink. I used to use rapidograph pens. I don't know if you know rapidograph pens, but it's a very, very thin line you could do with rapidograph pens. And then as computers came about, I started to scan in my drawings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would use, you know, paint, you know, Adobe Photoshop or whatever to paint in the drawings. And sometimes I would print them out. You know, at Kinko's, you can print it out on a canvas and then you could paint it.
Uh-huh. No, it's a good thing to do. I love it, you know. It takes a little bit of money because some of that is like not just having a canvas, and you got to figure out if you're going to put a frame there, or how are you going to show the canvas, or are you going to put it. So what did you do once you got the canvases? Did you put
I painted the canvases, and most of them, I mean, they're just mine. I just put them up on my wall without a frame.
Oh, really?
So okay. I kind of like it without frames, yeah. It's a certain look.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I have a friend who's a musician. She's actually married to Greg Braden, Martha Rick Braden. Mm-hmm. She loves doing line drawings like you, and she did right. line drawings actually to with lyrics also surrounded by line drawings. And she went out where she lives in New Mexico, and she found these like pieces of twigs that were, I mean, very thin, and she searched them all and then put them together and used these very thin little, not quite branches. I mean, they were about, 8 inches. And she made frames out of them, and she had a showing, and it was just so charming seeing.
Oh, I bet that's lovely.
She didn't cut the ends where they meet, you know, in the corner. She let the twigs intersect and kind of go on their own even, so that they were just.
I like that idea.
Yeah, you could do, your line drawings are very, very interesting. And you know, I looked at them like, oh, that's kind of like a Picasso, early Picasso feeling there, you know. And you know, once you do a frame that is a natural frame that speaks also to your art, it is interesting, I find, how it changes a little bit. Almost like it's finished or something. I don't know if you ever finish a piece of art, you know, but
yeah, you could work on it forever, right?
Yeah. So how many do you have hanging? I mean, you'd have to have a pretty big room if you were going to take all those pieces and put them up in your place.
Well, I haven't put them all up. I've just done some of them on canvas, just the ones that I've done on canvas. Uh-huh. I have up, but I was writing a book a couple of years ago with Harriet Witt. Actually, we started together. She had a whole thing about Santa Claus being a shaman.
I love
and
that.
So then we started writing this story together. I really got into it. We both got into it. Then we kind of separated because we have very different styles. But I started doing drawings for that. And that's because of such a wonderful story of Santa Claus as a shaman.
I think you could do that as a movie. I think you could turn that into a screenplay.
Absolutely. Well, I have about 250 pages of the book.
That's pretty good.
But I've never, you know, it's a lot of work, and
oh,
I'm
yeah.
not good at editing, you know.
Editing is some of the hardest part. But I see on your Haiku Helen mailing list, often you have that wonderful lady who actually does a lot of work in helping people journal and write. What's her
right.
name? Jasmine is her name? Boswell?
Jasmine, yeah. I worked with her for many years, actually, writing. And in fact, the latest thing that I put up, that accessing the divine, I think I wrote that story first in her class.
That's
actually.
Great to know. That's wonderful.
And so I'll tell you this, Cindy. And I'm curious to ask you about this, and it would be an interesting topic sometime. You know, I think many of us here on Maui have studied many spiritual approaches to understanding the divine, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have Sufi dancing, and we have Buddhism, and, you know, Hinduism, and, you know, Sufi. So many, many different accesses in my own life, since I'm of Jewish background.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, about 3 years ago, I guess, I decided I would start to study that because I never had, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had gone to India and, you know, like the rest of us.
Were you going into the Kabbalah? Were you doing the mystic Kabbalah?
That's what I've been doing. Yes, that's what I've been doing. And so it's giving me a whole nother approach. But I haven't done Christianity, and I know you have. So I think it's a fascinating conversation about all of these different approaches, how they're alike and how they're different.
Well, if you go deep, deep, deep into the Kabbalah and mystic Kabbalah and the symbolism, mm-hmm. I think you're going back to the roots of what actually was the beginning of what, during the time of the Essenes and Christ over 2,000 years ago, there's some deep similarities, very deep similarities. The Kabbalah goes very,
right now.
Very, very, the Kabbalah goes very, very deep. And, You know, you have to have a mind that wants to be a detective mind in a way to research that, because, you know, again, you want to go back to much as much as you can to the source. I have found this true in all religions. If you go back to as much as you can to the source, you get closer to the truth. When I even look at Christianity, I try to do as much as I can close to the Aramaic version, because in the translations of time, you lose so much, because each religion tried to put their stamp on the way people would see it.
Yes.
My biggest issue was with how it didn't take too long for people to kind of shut down Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary and have it become the men more powerful than the women, which wasn't the case in the time, really. In the in the Aramaic version of the Lord's Prayer, Avun de Borshmaya, it says Father, Mother, God. In the time of Christ and his studies, the Essenes were equal in male and female, and God was a force that was combined, Father, Mother, God. But we're so used to now thinking of it only as Father. You know, some people might now think I'm being sacrilegious because I say it could be Father, Mother, God, but it was. And if you go back to the Aramaic and the original versions, it was equal in power. But again, that was used by many religions to, should I go back into Peter and we'll go into that whole thing? It's a long, sticky, sticky road.
Just to add to that, because I've been studying the Torah. You know, and especially at the very beginning, And in the beginning, it says male and female he created them.
Thank you. I did not know that. I had never heard that
before. That's another version in the Torah, in the Bible.
You know what?
Says.
When I went to Jerusalem many, many years ago, I went to Jerusalem, may have been now 25 years ago. And I have to say I was really turned off by a lot of the traditional Jewish people treating women, in an attitude of second rate, you know.
Right.
Then I have issues, and I love the Pope, and, you know, I respect that, you know, the Pope, but still, women can't be priests. It's like, what? Why can't women be priests?
Right.
You know, I'm the kind of person that has issues with when we have to accept the rules, and I think the Pope would probably agree, you know, because he has to follow the restrictions.
He's a good guy.
Yes.
We like this Pope.
I do.
Yeah.
And yet he has to follow the rules of his people, and they get upset when he doesn't do what they want either, you know. It'd be sacrilege to do women as priests. Not really. It wouldn't be sacrilege in my opinion. So that's why I can't follow a traditional religion, because I really like where it comes from the source. So I do follow mystic Christianity, and mystic Christianity is very different than traditional Christianity.
And in the Kabbalah, really, I mean, one of the main things about the Kabbalah that they keep saying is that the purpose of it is to bring back the Shekhinah, which is the presence of the divine, which is female. She is female. The Shekhinah is female, and to rise up the Shekhinah, that's one of the main purposes of the Kabbalah.
I had never heard that. I love that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, not at all.
No, I do love that, because, you know, the divine is actually not supposed to be people in a power struggle of this and that and them, but the power struggle exists, and of course we'd reflect that, because we have that in our lives, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, historically speaking, I mean, women were having the babies. You know, I mean, back in the day, they were, you know, because you had to have a lot because so many died, right? So it would be more difficult, you know, for the woman to be the priest if she's having babies all the time. So you could understand it in that historical, you know, point of view.
Oh, I would have loved to have. I have to speak for women who might have been priestesses or priests, who would have loved to have been able to give up that lifestyle to not have all those babies and be a priest, or, you know.
It was hard in those days. Yeah, you know what I mean. Society.
I know.
But luckily, it's different now.
Yes.
You know, it is different now. And, you know, it's the first time in the history of the world, as far as we know, as far as history been written, prehistory, we don't know about. But it's the first time that women have been free from that. having to have babies all the time. You know, it's the first time that women don't have to get married and don't have to be supported by a man.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
You know, historically speaking, it's really, this is the first time.
Yeah, and I have to
say, 10,000 years.
I mean, there are some...
We're the first generation.
And you know what, you know, there's an interesting way, you know, when women start to claim their power of, again, not doing the same thing that men did. And it's a slippery slope because the temptation is always there. You know, I'm going to claim my power and I'm going to make you pay. And that's not supposed to be. That isn't really supposed to be the way in my opinion, you don't make people pay. If you claim your power goes to the source. And where does the source come from, right? So you have to go back to, it isn't really your power you're claiming, you know?
Right.
You're claiming the power of what your connection is to the source, you know?
Right.
And so that's a hard one. But, I mean, I applaud you for studying the Kabbalah. It's a very deep course. And I imagine it's even hard to find the right books and the right studies, you know, to do it. And there's a lot of symbology and there's a lot of in the letters that go way back. Just some of the ancient times, right?
Well, I'm with a group of women. We started working together. We're actually doing a book called the Sefer Yetzirah, which is a book that it's before the Zohar, and it's at least, you know, it goes back BC. It goes back before.
Wow.
They do believe, and anyway, that's what we decided. It's a little easier than the Zohar, which is like 13 books or 16 books.
Wow.
A little bit too much.
Well, isn't that wonderful, though, that you could have a group and that was available and kept from records that go back that far? That's that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's beautiful. And that you can have those discussions. And again, I was talking earlier in the show about... you know, it's easy to get into the mind and do all that, but, you know, I mean, I've been studying since I've been 13, and the hardest part isn't really, you know, finding out and learning. The hardest part's putting it to work in your life, you know.
I mean,
it's tough trying to live all the things that you can get, you know, from that.
Yes. Yes. It's not easy.
No, I mean, that's where...
But it's those very challenges. You know, I once read this Jungian book that I thought was very interesting. He said, there's fate and there's destiny. And destiny is the place you're supposed to arrive at, right? And fate are all the difficult things you have to face that help you go toward that destiny. You know, they're the fatal things. They're the difficult things. But those are what pushes you toward your destiny. I like that idea.
I love that. And I've always really been fascinated and have studied on the surface level. Carl Jung was, to me, he was my favorite psychologist, psychiatrist.
Right.
He was a psychiatrist, wasn't he? Not a psychologist. But he changed the way people looked at thinking about the archetypes and the collective unconscious and the collective, you know, mind and how deep your dreams could go. I mean, he was a fascinating man.
Fascinating.
I found that he changed the way we actually understand the way we think a lot and the way we dream, you know? And I'd never heard that, the fate and destiny, and that's a wonderful concept, actually.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? He's a Jungian, but it didn't come from that particular... I forget his name now. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Look it up.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way of looking at it.
Well, one of my favorite pieces that he ever wrote was a fairly short one at the end of a book. It was on Abraxas. You ever read what he wrote about Abraxas? Abraxas was about the... it was so unlike anything else that Carl Jung ever wrote, but it talked about... Of course, people think, oh, see, I know Abraxas. That was a Carlos Santana album. But Abraxas was really about the mix of the dark and the light and understanding the shadow self, right?
Yeah. I know I've heard of it, but I don't remember about it.
You might want to just look it up and Google it and check out Abraxas. To me, it was his most mystical work that he ever did, actually.
I love that. You know, I guess I was reading Yogananda the other day, and that idea of balance, balance, is what we're aiming for. And so both sides, you know, the negative side and the positive side, we really need both of those things to awaken.
We really,
in order to understand who we are, we have to look at that shadow side of ourselves.
I was walking outside one day, and the shadow looked so dark, you know, and I thought, oh, it's because look at it, there's more light. And it came to me, the more light we have, the more shadow we're going to see. And there's a lot more light, so we're going to see more shadows right now. And so with that light comes that, and the balance is good. Well, we're just about out of time. What's the best way to reach you or find out about your stuff, Haiku Helen?
Well, if you go to my website, haikuhelen.com, you could see, you could click on anything. I have videos there where I talk about palmistry and the work that I do. I haven't put this latest video on that at that website, but I think I will add it to it.
Yes.
And I'm going to do something on Abraham and Brahman. I'm just working on right now some new ideas I have since I've been studying ancient history and trying to understand the connections between all these religions.
If you get a chance, there's a documentary out that goes into the history of Jerusalem, and it goes back to David, and it goes back to Abraham, and it goes back to what happened. Through all that, you can see it's pretty interesting. I think it's a three-part series. You might want to check that out.
Do you know what it's called?
I think it's something about Israel. And if you put in Israel PBS or the histories of the roots of Israel, I can't remember the exact name, but it was fascinating. And it's very well done. And it tells you a very interesting story that you might not usually look in the way of historians of David and then of Abraham and what happened and then how it affected Jerusalem in many ways. So that you might find that interesting. But anyway,
I always loved David. David was always a favorite of mine. Yes, I know it's time you have to get off the
phone line. It was wonderful talking to you. I really enjoyed it. It's fascinating. I'd love to maybe talk more sometime. And I just thank you for all the service you do.
Well, I'm happy to be able to do it.
Good. Yes. Okay, you have a good, happy new year, okay?
Okay, you too.
Aloha.
Thanks for calling. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.